The music business was mean. Mean like Liam Gallagher when he heard Noel's album went to number one. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door? Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Ricky.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah.
Well, we've just come from, you know, obviously the Pop Detective Agency's taking off somewhat.
Oh, my God, I'm thrilled.
So we've had to do a little bit of publicity today.
Yep,
absolutely. We went and had our photographs taken.
Yep.
How do you think that went?
I thought it went very, very well. It's the cameraman in black and white.
Well, that's all that exists now in the 30s.
Yeah. And he managed to make me look very old, which is, I admired him for that.
Well, now I can see you in full Technicolor under the flashing neon sign of the Chinese restaurant that we have our offices above. I can't see a wrinkle on you.
That's very kind of you. No, it's all moisturising, as I've told you before. That's what it's all about. If somebody had told me about 60 years ago to do that, I'd now be looking like a teenager.
Well, I sometimes have a regime, because Grace, she does top to toe moisturising, but I don't see the point in moisturising the bits that people can't see.
No, there's no point whatsoever. It's just a waste of moisturiser, isn't it, really?
Well, it depends how saucy our publicity photographs get. You never know what it might be like in the future when we have to up the game a bit, because another DJ and a young buck sidekick could set up a similar pop detective agency. We'd have to compete. What if Edmonds and Murs?
Oh, come on.
What if they set up Ollie and Noel's pop detectives?
That's a nasty thought, isn't it? Well, I mean, the trouble is, to be honest with you, that Noel and I are very good friends now. Perhaps you ought to get together, you know, the four of us.
So you, me, Ollie Murs and Noel Edmonds.
Yep.
It sounds like a particularly good year on Strictly Come Dancing.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. I mean, if you casually came up to me and said, would you like a quick tango?
I would certainly be
for it.
I'd inquire who's going to lead.
Well, the tango I'm not very good at.
Okay.
I'm very good at the military two-step.
And how do you do this?
Very simple. If you were on my, let me see, just imagine that you're on my left-hand side. You're the lady in this, if you don't mind. I don't mind at all. Yeah. It goes rum bum 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 rum bum 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 bum. And then I take two steps to the right. Rum bum 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 bum. And then I salute you.
Oh, hello.
And then you that's it. Now you try. You take two. I'll do the and you rum bum 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 bum
to the left.
And then rum bum 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 we come back together and then I turn and salute you.
Oh, I don't salute you ever.
You don't sleep because you're the lady.
Quite like my role. There's less to do.
Fair enough.
Their brain neurons sparked like a faulty neon sign in a dark, rain-soaked alleyway. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Okay, Ricky, enough of this.
Really?
We've got work to do.
Oh, no.
There's a message on the answer phone, so should we hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hey, Ricky, Tony, it's Crystal, your eyes and ears on the festival circuit. There was this big bus stop years back at Glastonbury between the Mannix and Billy Bragg. It was all over a toilet, man. Can you believe it? Musicians fighting, man. It's not cool. We need to find out if they ever made up.
So here's the case then, Tony. Did the Mannix Street Preachers and Billy Bragg ever resolve their toilet differences? Billy Bragg and the Mannix once had a falling out when Billy Bragg had a pop at the band for bringing their own toilet to Glastonbury. This is where I think it gets blurred. Right?
Yeah.
Not bringing blur into it, because I know they're very sanitary guys. And therefore having sold out, in inverted commas. What are your feelings on selling out?
Selling out?
Yeah.
I don't really have many feelings about selling out, to be honest with you. I mean, how about you? Have you ever sold out?
Day one.
Really?
Afternoon, day one. I thought, sod this. I want to get paid. Right, let's get back to the Mannix and Billy Bragg. They apparently sold out, going against everything the festival stands for, Glastonbury, and had their own toilets. But did Billy Bragg and the Mannix ever get over this and make up their differences?
Billy Bragg seems a very... I've never met him. He seems a very serious man.
Well, you know...
A bit of a lefty.
You could describe Billy Bragg...
He's a slight lefty.
A bit of a lefty. But, you know, there is a certain amount of righteousness
yeah,
that comes with that, and a certain amount of finger pointing.
Yes.
And he was definitely pointing a finger in the direction of the manic toilets.
Absolutely. What's your feelings on, as you're a pop and rock idol?
Yes.
What's your feelings of music getting muddled up with politics?
Oh, well, here
I
you
mean,
go.
You see, if you're, I mean, I get a feeling that if I'm a DJ, I don't get involved in politics, but some people do.
This is where I shut down. This is where I batten down the hatches. Because...
Yes.
We live in a very divided country at the moment.
We do.
We're talking 50-50.
Yeah.
And I like selling out big rooms. And yes. I don't want them half full of people that agree with me.
You're absolutely right.
I don't want them, whatever side I'm on.
Mm.
Because I would like, in my field of the entertainment world, to be able to people forget about that for an evening.
Yeah.
Now, here comes the problem with the pop element.
Mm.
And lots of people know you. You do have a bit of a responsibility, if people look up to you, to lead them, in a way that you think would improve the world.
Yeah, I
so
I,
there is a yeah. you are on a tightrope of how much you say. I mean, you can't say anything. You work for the BBC.
Nothing at all. I'm not really allowed to breathe,
but you can wear that T-shirt, and that is wearing your politics on your sleeve. Then,
I made a big error last year in saying that I liked Twiglets. Now that really set everybody off. I didn't realise how many people didn't.
Well,
like
they
Twiglets.
Think you. They think you're just going to be like swimming in a bath of Twiglets, living it up in your manor house.
If I enjoy that, why can't I fill my bath up with them and eat them?
Doing the military two-step. So the Manic Street Preachers, apparently had their own toilets. Now, can I just from someone that's played a lot of festivals?
Yes.
So I'm going to lay out some groundwork here.
Okay.
So when you play at a festival, they have toilets. They have men's toilets, they have women's toilets. Mm. Now, they always underestimate the amount of sit-down men's they'll need.
Mm.
Now, a men's toilet truck has between 4 or 5 urinals and 1 sit-down.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine, apart from when all the roadies get up in the morning, and then certain, a couple of hours after the catering time. I don't want to get too graphic. But at one festival in particular, there was a backstage area that held probably about 300 people.
Mm.
5 urinals and 1 sit-down toilet. Now, here's the problem. Before I go on stage, I get nervous.
Mm.
Whether I want to go or not, sometimes I think I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if there's only 1 toilet, you've got a problem there. And the more someone's denying me access to that, the more I think I'm going to need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's been plenty of times when I've just about to go on stage and I've been desperate for a wee.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there's nowhere to wee.
Hmm.
So I have to go against a piece of scaffolding or something.
Really?
Now.
You've got to be careful of that because there's so many cameras around.
Apart from your doorbell. So I'd never pee against your door.
I'm glad to hear that because it's not waterproof.
No, is it not?
The doorbell.
So
if you peed against it, it would completely ruin the battery.
That'd be a good bit if I was making a heist movie, that's all I'd have to do to disable it.
Just pee against my doorbell?
Well, I'd probably use one of those comedy flowers that squirted.
You're not going to come round and pee on my doorbell.
I actually know your address.
Because it's working really well at the moment. And it would probably actually mess up the Wi-Fi. And if you got past the door, you might pee all over my Wi-Fi as well. In fact, all over the house.
I'm not going to go in your house and pee.
No, it's not that I'd...
I'm not going to pee on your hub. Okay.
Fair enough.
So,
thank you.
Here we go. So what I'm saying is, if I was headlining a festival, I would really appreciate it if I knew there was a toilet available for me.
Yes.
Minutes before I went on.
Put that in your rider.
Well, there you go. Here's the thing. Maybe the Manic Street Preachers were worried that they were having to play one of the gigs of their lives,
yes,
while having to hold it in. And I've seen Nicky Wire jumping. He's the bass player,
yes,
right? And he can't do that with a full bladder. There you go.
Of course not. There
I'm just saying. So back to where we were. Let's get back. Well, I think we need to get some insider info on the Manic Street Preachers. I know someone who can help. Get the phone.
Hello.
Hi. So, Tony, I've Will Orchard here, Kendall Calling, festival promoter. Now, Kendall Calling's a show that I've played. How are you doing, Will?
I'm very good, thank you.
How's everything gone last summer?
Bit damp. Aside from that, fine.
Yeah.
Little bit damp, but no complaints otherwise. Another sellout, another good year, and the planning has already begun for next year. Never really stops.
We can't ask you who's playing because I've got someone here who'd love to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tony?
Yes.
You've got your Sounds of the 60s tour at the moment?
I certainly have, yes. We're touring around at the moment, and we could do your concert with ease, actually, and I could perhaps sing some of a medley of my hits.
You'd be more than welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Will, has anyone been in touch from the Kaiser Chiefs publicity machine asking if we can play?
Strangely quiet, which makes me think you didn't have a good time last time, but I know you did.
I had a great time. I met a lady who did big giant bubbles.
It was a local celeb around our part, the bubble lady.
Oh, she was fantastic. She put peanut in a bubble.
How does he get inside the bubble? Because, well, I mean, that little thing that you blow up.
It's got a zip.
Oh, it's got a zip.
Yeah.
So you get into an uninflated bubble, and then somebody from the outside blows you up.
Yeah, they stick a tube into
stick
you.
Stick a tube. Ooh.
Yeah. And you get.
Sounds like a procedure I had at hospital the other day.
So Candlelight Calling, fantastic festival every year, a big hit. Now, but we're specifically talking about toilets, Will.
Mm.
Now, I run into a lot of problems at festivals with toilets, not because I've got a particular... I mean, I do have slightly prostate problems, but they're being dealt with.
I've had that operation, actually.
Have you? Have you been scraped?
Yes, I have.
It was the word scrape that should.
In fact, it was quite interesting because the person
Did you get a DVD of it?
No, I didn't get a DVD, but the person that was performing the operation said I had the biggest prostate he'd seen in Hertfordshire.
Wow.
And the operation took 25 minutes longer than the normal prostate operation.
You should put that
that's your, absolutely true.
You should put that on the posters.
I did.
Hey, Will, if you're putting Tony on next year, make
very,
sure you...
very, very large... Well, I don't now.
No.
Because obviously I've had it shaved off, but I had...
shaved.
Well, it was lasered.
Lasered. Oh, well, that makes it sound futuristic.
And, it was lasered.
A laser prostate.
In Bushy, in Hertfordshire.
Tony, can you bring the enlarged prostate with you?
I don't actually have it with me.
In a jar?
Oh, do you not?
I've still got a half of it left. I haven't had the whole lot.
I thought that was
I've
what
got some prostate.
I thought that's what you were wearing around your neck, kind of thing, in that vial. So, the toilets. Now, men's toilets, I've been into this already. You get one sit down
and
four or five standing. Mm. Okay. Now, that is not a lot of sit downs. Now, do you have problems with under-toileting your backstage areas? Will.
Under toileting, it depends what you consider a reasonable number of toilets, and it also depends whether you expect artists to get their own toilet just for themselves.
Oh, have you ever had that? Have you ever had an artist? You don't have to name names, but we would really like you to.
So I'm aware of rumours regarding an argument that happened at Glastonbury some years ago.
Oh, yeah.
We've had something similar. I won't name names because I don't want to get into
it. I wouldn't want to think that we were dishing the dirt, so to speak.
But what one amusing toilet-related story. So we did have a complaint from one of our artists 1 year that another artist had more toilets than them. So one artist had their own toilet, and the band who was on after them complained they didn't have their own toilet and therefore asked for two instead of one. I don't think they even really used them. But it is the sort of thing we have to deal with in terms of backstage requests and artist preferences and that sort of thing. Toilets is only really scratching the surface. We have a lot more that we have to deal with.
I bet.
Silly requests and that sort of thing.
The problem comes with it, because I've been in the need of a toilet before we go on, but they're full. And then I've had to go against, in Kendall Calling, because it's quite a pastoral area, so you can go against a tree if you have to. But yeah, I can understand the situation where maybe, has this ever happened, where for like maybe 10 minutes before a band go on stage or an artist goes on stage, they just hold them so that they can use them. Is that happen? Does that kind of thing happen? Because I could understand that.
We have been known to do something similar.
Good.
And we've also, slightly different with bands, because they tend to obviously go on stage and do their thing. And they have a lot far more structured day. When we're dealing with DJs, for example, who often will come 15 minutes before they're due on and that sort of thing, then we have been known to have portaloos directly behind the booth where the DJs play, and they can often play a long song, disappear off, and then come back and You know, and that's what we pay the big bucks for, is to spend half their set that week.
I've never needed that at all, actually.
Well, Tony,
when I do my DJ set, it's
well, none of the
long.
60s tracks are long enough.
That's
are
what
they?
I was saying.
2.5 minutes.
If you do sounds of the 70s.
That's why I've had to have a prostate operation.
Because they didn't make songs long enough.
Yes.
But for Johnny Walker, sounds of the 70s, he's always on the
absolutely.
Toilet. He spends hours in there.
Yeah.
During those guitar solos.
Absolutely hours.
Yeah. So people do bring their own toilets, because I find that hard to believe that people actually would bring their own toilet.
I don't know that it's necessarily. I mean, I would love to see it.
Yeah,
you know, a band turning it with a tour bus and a toilet behind them. I don't think it's necessarily that they bring their own. It's more that they are specific in terms of us having to provide a set number before they arrive. And I don't know that they've necessarily brought their own signs, but sometimes we also have to print a sign.
Okay. What other things do artists request? I mean, what are the most unusual things that they've actually asked for?
Let's hear about this.
We get the more reasonable requests. So, that, you know, I understand performance things they need to do a good show. Some people, you know, if they're doing a very energetic show, they will have oxygen tanks on the stage or specific drinks to keep them hydrated and that sort of thing, which I understand, because we want them to put on the best show they can, and for them to you know, for the crowd to have a great time and that sort of thing.
Oxygen tanks.
Wow. So we have had artists before who they've got a particularly full-on stage show, I guess, and between songs they'll go off and have a deep breath.
I tend to just rely on the oxygen in the air.
Well, so do they actually have to use it?
Yeah, I've known artists to maybe three times, you know, a handful of times. They're not doing it between every song, but certainly it'll keep them going.
Do you think a lot of this kind of stuff that ludicrous requests come from someone seeing someone else doing something and thinking, I've got to have that? So do you think it's a lot of one-upmanship in these ego-driven
backstage
areas?
The headliner that we had that saw another artist one toilet and then asked for two also saw the same artist get 25 pieces after their show and therefore requested 50. Now, they didn't have 50 people in their tour in the group, but yes, one-upmanship is definitely a factor. And also just knowing that we will always provide, with, you know, where reasonable, what they ask for. You know, there was one artist who asked for these kind of ginger shots, like well-being French ginger kind of thing. They sent a recipe, they sent a video of how to prepare these ginger shots, freshly grated ginger and all that sort of thing. We bought some from the shop and they didn't even notice. I think a lot of the time it is a little bit for show, but we will always do our best.
But who pays for it? Do you pay for it, or they pay for it out of what you pay them? So
it sits outside of the fee, so they still get their money. And also, as well, a lot of the time, if an artist asks for 50 pizzas and they only eat five, the other 45 go to us who work.
Oh, well, there you go.
So we get something out of him.
There you go. That's quite good. Once we were playing, Kaiserschiefs were playing a festival. It was just us and Eminem on the bill. So it wasn't a big festival, but it was a weird festival. And we arrived and he had an enclosure with a little fence so we couldn't get into his enclosure.
Yeah.
But it was only 5 foot high, right? And we average around 5'11". Right.
Yes.
And so he could see over it. And then they spent the entire day making the fence with a bit of extra fence about a foot and a half taller so we couldn't see over it. But Eminem arrived 2 minutes before he went on and left straight away. So someone's job was to build a fence that had already been built higher so Kaiserschiefs couldn't see Eminem. But we were out front waiting for him to come on, and then he went.
But if you knew you were going to be on with Eminem, you could bring a stepladder with you, couldn't you?
I recommend to any up-and-coming artists.
Yes.
Travel everywhere with a stepladder.
Stepladder, yes. Yeah. Then you can see over his fence.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That would, unless he continually built...
Unless he gets wise to that.
Yeah.
And, you know...
And then he builds it higher and higher and higher.
Until we start burrowing.
Yes.
And he's got
a problem. That's the point.
Yeah.
He hadn't thought of that.
Well, he never does, does he?
Yeah, no.
Never does. So what I've got from you is that you've never had someone bring their own toilets, actually tow them in.
Not that I know of. Right. I mean, I'm not gonna tell you we've never had it.
All right, but as far as you know,
I'm aware of,
that would be rare. But we have had situations where people have requested more, and we've had situations where you've had to make signage.
Yes.
Okay, but I think in any of these cases, do you think it's a direct request from the artist themselves, or do you think it's usually over-eager management?
I think you know the answer to this, Ricky, and it is It is, but it is more often than not. I understand the life for music agent, and it's to keep the artist happy. I do think occasionally there are cases where an agent has really kind of pushed it a little bit just to kind of squeeze the best possible thing out.
Yeah. There we go.
A bit like Tony. Yeah. So, yes, I do occasionally think it isn't specifically coming from the artist. And I do sometimes think that we go, oh, he's a pain in the arse, isn't it? And he's a difficult headliner. Actually, a lot of the time, I'm sure that's not coming directly from the band or from the singer or whatever.
Have you ever had any major bust-ups between artists at festivals? Do you get that a lot or not?
I don't know that we have. I don't think so. I've worked for shows prior to Kendall Calling where artists have had a falling out before the festival and one of them has cancelled. I know of one specific case where I think it was two DJs maybe had an argument and then one of them pulled the show, and we were fairly convinced that it was because of that. In terms of Kendall, we're usually pretty lucky that actually we tend to book a lot of people who get on really well with each other. So I don't know if it's the festival camaraderie specifically with Kendall or whatever, but everyone seems to get on.
I get a feeling, Will, that you find DJs a bit of a pain in the arse.
I
do.
Are you one of them?
No, I'm quite easy, actually. You know, I just demand a flamingo in my dressing room, that's all.
Live or stuffed?
Live.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this year you actually had Mannix play this year?
We did.
And did you have any toilet requests there?
I think we provided them with their own toilet. I'm not sure it was as big a deal as it's been made out to be.
No, I suppose they're caught between a rock and a hard place now because they can't request any toilet now without people going, you with your toilets.
So my understanding from the Glastonbury thing, let me make it very clear.
Yes, I'd like
that. We love the Mannix.
I love the Mannix. Actually got a face-to-face compliment from the Mannix.
What was it?
And this is an amazing thing to say.
Yep.
James Dean Bradfield said, "I really like you guys." This is really at the beginning. Mm. "You sound like The Clash, but better recorded."
Ah.
And I thought to myself, that's the best thing anyone's ever said to me.
That's good. I've never met the Manic Street Porters or Billy Bragg, for that matter, actually. Be honest with you.
So, Will, you were talking then. Sorry, I interrupted with that.
Sandy Shaw, I've met.
Well, don't get you started on Sandy Shaw.
No. She never wore shoes either. No, very unhygienic.
Thin ice there.
You can catch dreadful things from people who don't wear shoes.
Measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, whooping cough, tetanus, polio.
I was thinking more of bunions.
Okay. Will, you were talking and I interrupted you with my...
Bunions are horrible, by the way. They are absolutely horrible. Have you ever had a bunion, Will?
I haven't. I feel like you're quite an ill man, Tony.
No, I'm not. I've never had a bunion.
You've never had a bunion?
No, just a very large prostate.
A bunion would be a very useful thing for a festival organiser.
Why is that?
Because some people can say they can tell the weather.
Oh, by bunions?
By the feeling they get in their bunion because of the atmospheric, the biometric pressure.
So if Billy Bragg came down there and Will was wondering about the pressure and it was just likely that Billy Bragg had a bunion,
he would
get the bunion out.
Well, you don't have to wave it around. But I think if there's pressure in the air... Your bunion hurts.
Really? I didn't
that's the thing.
I'd never realised that before. Is that a medical fact?
None of my facts would stand up against a quick Google. Well, I interrupted you when you were talking about the Manic Street Preachers and their own toilets, but I've forgotten what I interrupted.
I've completely forgotten where we were.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Well, that's all right then. I tell you what, Will, I do love your name. Will Orchard.
Do
you like apples?
Yes, I do.
I thought you might. I just had a feeling, Will. You sounded like an apple-loving sort of person to me.
I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you always put those in the dressing rooms as well.
You know, we get through a lot of fruit backstage.
You know, when you get your fruit, Will, do you order it online or do you go into a shop to get it?
I think typically we do wholesale.
I actually order everything online apart from fruit because I like to go into a supermarket. I like to feel my plums.
You squeeze it, don't you?
No. No, I really do. Well, is there any fruit you particularly don't like, Will? Or what's your favourite fruit?
Ooh, something exotic, which typically doesn't really work somewhere like Kendall. I feel like if we had a festival in, you know, Caribbean or something like that, the pineapple to apple ratio.
Is a coconut a fruit?
It's losing the name there.
Well, it's a nut. It's a coconut. It's always difficult to get the straw through the coconut, isn't it?
Well, it's all paper straws.
It's a good time to have a screwdriver. That cause I've always used, I quite often use a screwdriver. I've never seen a coconut in Morrison's though.
That sounds like one of your 60s hits. Hey, Will.
I did a record about Big Daddy. I was called Big Daddy in the Sugar Canes.
Were you?
Yes.
You were called Big Daddy?
Called Tomorrow Night.
How many names
went
did you
Tomorrow call? Night, Tomorrow Night. It went like that. I heard it on a radio station in Barbados, and we came back and recorded it.
Oh, yeah,
and it was a terrific flop.
Oh, see, this is the gold you could be getting if you got Tony for next year's Kendall Calling.
Tomorrow Night.
There's a whole world of music that we've never had at Kendall that I feel like we're missing out on. So, Tony, you're more than welcome.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
Will, what we've got about this is, have you ever had Billy Bragg on?
We haven't, actually, but I'd love to.
Oh, you should get him. There you go. See if he brings his own toilets. Then we'll have
it. Always strikes me as being a bit... I've never met Billy Bragg, and if he's listening to this, I do apologise, but he always strikes me as being a bit serious and a bit... I'd rather like Bob Dylan, you know, everything's a problem.
Everything's a problem.
It is, isn't it? I'm Bob Dylan, everything's a bloody problem, isn't it?
Do you know what?
And it's...
That'd be such a good title for Billy Bragg's next album.
It is, isn't it?
Everything's a bloody problem, isn't it?
It is. And, I mean, you know, we're only here for a short time. For God's sake, embrace it and enjoy it. You know, not everything's miserable. Like a rolling stone. You know, you might have lovely songs, but I wouldn't want to have an evening out with Billy Bragg
and Bob Dylan.
It'd be
great for Instagram though.
Yeah, I wouldn't enjoy it, I don't think. On the other hand, who knows?
Who knows? You
might
know what?
Be a great evening.
It might be the social chemistry we were waiting for.
And I think we'd probably get on well together.
Maybe.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, I don't know where that leads us. I think I'm getting more and more on the side of the Manic Street preachers here and thinking that it probably wasn't their fault. You never know what they'd eaten. You never know what they need.
And if they did bring their own toilets,
Billy
Bragg, forget it. It's not a worry. If they want to bring their own toilets, in my view, it's a free country at the moment, you can bring your own toilets.
At the moment,
it is a free country.
Because I think it's because they stand up for these, like, everyone is equal, socialistic values that Billy also stands up for. And I think he thought it was hypocritical for them to want to poo in peace.
Well, that's ridiculous. Mm. If you're a lefty... You can have your own toilet, for goodness sake. It wouldn't bother me.
That's a great T-shirt.
Wouldn't bother me.
If you're a lefty, you can have your own toilet, for goodness sake.
Exactly, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Right, well, I think we've sorted that one. Will, thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you, Will.
We'll be in touch and let you know our findings once we've figured this case out finally. But thank you for your input. We've really, really appreciated it.
You've been very helpful, Will. Thank you very much.
We hope to see you next year at Kendall Calling doing the Rick and Tony's Roadshow.
Absolutely. Glad to be of help. I'll see you next summer.
Speak to you later. See you next summer, mate.
Bye-bye.
The ceiling fan whirled around as slowly as a sun-stroked fly. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
I think so far, Ricky, it's been really inconclusive. Mm. We haven't got as far as I'd like to at this stage. I'm interested in how two people can fall out over such a thing. And so I'm going to contact now... a legal expert, I think, might be able to help us.
While you're dialing,
yep.
I might just point out that maybe, some of these feuds,
yes.
Maybe they're good for business.
Could be. What publicity?
While you're in the papers, people are talking about you, and people probably keep these feuds up too. I might talk to this guy about this. Is his name Gig?
Giaku.
Yeah. He's, it's ringing. Maybe he's out mediating.
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
Hello, yes. Gig.
So, can you explain to us what your job is, just for our listeners?
Well, at a basic level, parties in a dispute resolve their problems, and it's about having a conversation to kind of learn more about what caused the problem and figure out ways to resolve it, help them resolve it, actually.
And do you work exclusively in the celebrity field, or do you do this in any form of life, couples?
I do not do couples.
Well, that'll be tricky. You don't want to get in the way of
forms of litigation.
Are you a legal person?
Yes.
You're like a sort of a lawyer.
Yes.
Who specializes in.
I've been a lawyer.
Mediating. Yeah.
Well, this is tricky because we'd like to know names, but obviously you can't give those away for legal reasons. But there's been some pretty, pretty big names in there. Can we give them code names?
Well, there have been a few public settlements where press releases were released. many years ago, I did a matter involving Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt when they were married. It wasn't a dispute between them. It was a dispute involving the photographs taken of her in the backyard.
Oh, right. Well, we've all taken those, haven't we?
Absolutely. So you were involved in this case with Jennifer Aniston, were you, and Brad Pitt?
Yes, they basically were very interested because they wanted to protect their privacy. Please do.
Sorry, the line's not great, Gig, but this would be terrible if the line wasn't great in a mediation.
Oh, it'd be a nightmare.
Because you'd get so many problems, because it must be like walking a pretty tight rope when you're trying to mediate. And if the line was down, someone might hear the wrong thing and it could have exploded.
Absolutely. So do you get them in a room together and you say, look, Jen or Brad, let's get this thing? Because this was a dispute over topless photographs, wasn't it?
Of Jen or Brad?
Yes.
Of who? Was it a topless photograph of Brad or Jen? I'm calling her Jen. I don't know her.
Well, it sounds like you do, Tony.
No, I'd like to.
Well, we'd all like to. No, she's
lovely.
The queen of rom-coms. Yeah. I think it's not a rom-com unless Jen's in it.
It was quite some time ago.
I'm not getting every single word from you, but what I'm thinking about this is, in the legal world, I get the feeling that your perfect outcome is that everyone walks away happy, whereas a lawyer is very interested in one person.
You're breaking up.
I know. Yeah. We're breaking up.
Well, that's where you'd be able to mediate that.
Yeah, I would, wouldn't I? Oh, no, he would. He's gone now, but we'll just have to make up the rest. Take from it what we will.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
So, Tony, we spoke to Gig.
Yep.
He's a mediator, which I think is a very strange job.
It's not too difficult, is it? You're sitting in front of two people or trying to do this, and of course, you know, you're dealing with people's emotions, but they're not yours. You're just getting the cash.
You've got nothing to lose.
Money for a rope.
Yeah, which seems like a very odd job to have, and quite easy, because you've got nothing to lose, really.
Nothing to lose at all. You've just got everything to gain, and everybody else is the one who's paying you to sit there listening to a load of old rubbish and basically summing it all up at the end of it, and one person wins and one person doesn't. But the one who always wins is the mediator.
Well, there you go. I liked him.
I liked him, and I loved his name. Gig.
Gig.
Just a shame he wasn't a musician or something and didn't do any gigs.
Well,
with a name like Gig.
Now, back to the Mannix and the Bragg. I think the Mannix, it was nothing to do with them three guys. Overzealous management, I think, was the problem with the Mannix here and their toilet issues. I think you're right. He was looking for a fight.
Yeah, I mean,
which is good. I think there should be
lighten up a bit.
I think there should be pop stars out there that are, you know, willing to pick up a baton and say something they believe in, not the wishy-washy ones like me that just want to grab the money and go home and watch Murder, She Wrote. I don't think they've got a problem with each other. I just think there's a bit of festival japes. I think that the Mannix are nothing to do with the toilet situation, and I think that this has all been blown out of proportion.
I agree with you, and I think, to be honest with you, can you hand me the
stamp?
Stamp there.
Here we go.
I think we can honestly say, case solved.
Thanks to all our regular listeners. If you want to get in touch with a pop myth, you can email us, and it's podcast@rickyandtony.com, or just tweet us, Ricky and Tony Pod. Get in touch, let us know your myths, and we will endeavour to get out our big stamp, and stamp solved, or have we never? We always solve them.
We always solve the problem. I mean, and the great thing about us is it's free of charge.
It is. No mediation fee required.
No, none at all.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.
Do you want to try being the man this time? It goes rump bump 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 bum rump bump 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 bum. And then I take two steps to the right. Rump bump bump bum bum, and then I salute you.